help if I turn that on, huh? Good morning. So good to be with you this morning. I was just sitting in that front row and listening to the wave of the voices come in. And it just, someday, it reminds me that someday we're going to be in the presence of our Savior with a sea of voices singing worship. And I can't wait for that day. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Neil, and I have the privilege of serving as the campus pastor of our Olmsted Falls campus. And there's just so much exciting stuff happening here at Grace Church, and I'm along for the ride with y'all. I'm excited for it. So I do want to say a special welcome to our other campuses. We have our Lorain Correctional Campus. I just want to let everybody know, we're celebrating with our Lorain Correctional Campus because they had 9 baptisms a couple days ago. And that's so cool. And then if your heart language is Spanish, we actually have a Spanish campus as well. Love to have you engage with them as well. Well, as you saw in the little video, we've been going through a sermon series entitled Enter. And it's because this is the point where the children of Israel are entering into the promised land. But it's more than that. It's because they're moving through this transition and there's a lot of unsettledness. And we go through this transition of, you know, Moses was leader and now it's Joshua. And so there's some things that we can learn in these transition points from the book of Joshua that will help us enter into his presence, enter into his promise. And so we're going to continue on in that study in Joshua. And I'll give you a quick overview of where we've been, but while I'm doing that, for those of you that have a paper Bible, we're going to be going to Joshua chapter 4. So it'll kind of help you get a head start. But as far as a remembrance of where we've been, we opened up the sermon series. Pastor Josiah went through and opened up the story of how Moses, who had been leading the children of Israel through this whole story, has passed away. And now Joshua has been called to lead the children of Israel. And the Lord doesn't just leave him in charge and, well, good luck. He gives him this word of encouragement. He says, be strong and courageous. And then the week after that, we heard from Pastor Kareem, and I love his tagline, feet don't fail me now. I love that because it's really about we need to take steps of faith. They were calling the children of Israel to take this step of faith into the uncertainty and into the unknown, and we have to take those steps. So what we're doing is we're looking through the book of Joshua and we're exploring what are some things that we can learn as a congregation, because I don't know if you know this or not, but we are going through a bit of a transition right now. And so there's a lot of things that we can learn. We're going to jump in right at Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulders. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you will tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Would you just bow your heads and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on his word today. Lord, we come to you and we just humbly ask, would you speak? Would you speak to us? Lord, I pray just personally, I ask that you would use my words and my voice. I mentioned this earlier, Lord, these folks don't need to hear from me, they need to hear from you. And so I pray in whatever way, help me to get out of the way and for people to see you and hear from you. Lord, make your word come alive. Lead us, Lord. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd mentioned earlier that we're picking up in a story of the children of Israel as they have exited Egypt. They've made their journey all the way over to where they're now entering into the promised land of God. So we've got this transition piece, but before they can enter into the promised land, they came to this obstacle. And if you remember from Pastor Cream's message, they had to take that step of faith and walk out into the river. The river was stopped by God. They walk across on dry ground. And this is where we're picking up the story, is all the children of Israel have walked through the Jordan, and instead of them just continuing on their journey, the Lord stops them and says, I want you to take 12 stones from the middle of the river, and I want you to pile them up. I want you to make a memorial of what you saw here today. Now, as we're going through these pieces of scripture, one of the things that I do all the time is I just start asking questions. And the very first question I have is, why on earth would God want the children of Israel to pull a bunch of stones up and make this monument? Well, thankfully, right early on in our reading, it's written in there, why would God have interest in that? You see, in verse 6, it says, we'll use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? A few years ago, my family and I took a trip out west, and we had the pleasure of going to see a bunch of the national parks. One of the places that we went to was Mount Rushmore. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, you can see a picture up on the screen. And so if you didn't live in the United States, you didn't know the story, it's possible that you might show up at Mount Rushmore, you heard about it, and you show up and you're looking at it going, what's the deal with that? Like, why put all the effort and the time and energy into building something like that? Well, because it tells the story. It tells the history. It's the first 150 years the United States is represented by those four men. And they just tell distinct moments in the history of our country. It's used to tell our kids what happened. And this is actually one of the significant reasons why God would be interested in a memorial being built, is because it tells the story. And it's something that they can pass on to the next generation. You see, the Lord's been actually telling the children of Israel, make sure you tell your children and your grandchildren what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. In fact, there's a piece in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and it says, but watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourselves have seen. Do not let these memorials escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. You see, God wanted to make sure that people didn't forget. The reality is, the children of Israel, we can learn from them, they forgot to pass this stuff on. They forgot to pass on the memories. If you continue on through the book of Joshua and you get to the book of Judges, which is just the end of the generation, that Joshua's generation, you'll find out that the children of Israel, they forgot to pass on the information. They forgot to tell the amazing things that God did. And it says that the next generation didn't know God and they walked away. So we can see the importance of passing on. What are some of the amazing things that God has done in our lives? We have memorials today that God has given us. Just think about that. Here in the church, we have communion. You know, we take communion together, and if you recall, the bread, we break the bread, and Jesus said, I want you to take this bread in remembrance of me. I gave my body for you. And he says, take the cup in remembrance of my blood that was shed for you. Some of you have a cross on a necklace or on a piece of jewelry, and we have a cross here in this room. Now, to some, if you look at that cross, it might just look like two pieces of wood nailed together. But to us, Christ followers, we look at that and we say, my Savior gave himself on that cross. He stretched out his hands and put his feet down to be nailed to the cross. Why? Because he loved me so much that he was willing to give himself as payment for my sins. You know, it's not always just a physical thing that's a monument. It could just be a moment in time. We celebrate Easter. Easter is that time where, you know, on Good Friday, we remember that Jesus died. But Easter, we remember that he's not dead. We remember that Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He's alive, and we worship a risen, alive Savior. These are the memories. What about baptism? In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating baptisms out at Beulah Beach. If you want to be baptized, check the website. There's great ways to check to sign up. We're going to be celebrating what God has done in our lives. If you're being baptized, you're saying, the Lord has changed me. I once was lost. Now I'm found. He's transformed me from death unto life. That's the beauty of baptism, as we celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives. So that's one of the significant reasons why the Lord would be interested in having this memorial built. It's just simply because we need to remember and we need to tell the next generation. Now, if you go a little bit further into that chapter, you'll come to verse 24, and it gives us just another tidbit on why the Lord might have interest in this memorial being built. At the beginning of verse 24, he says, he did this so that all nations of the earth might know the Lord's hand is powerful. Several years ago, my family and I, we went camping with our small group. We knew it was going to rain, so we bought a new canopy, and that was meant for like food prep and stuff like that. We didn't set it up right away, so when the time came, I grabbed the new bag out, and it's pouring rain, which added to the fun of it all, and I opened it up, I took the directions, and I set them over here, and I grabbed the canopy, and I started to work setting it up, and I worked hard at it, and it finally was standing there. However, it looked nothing like the picture. And my wife came out and said, nice job. You know it's inside out, right? Why do I tell you that story? Well, I tell you actually for one main purpose. Remember the directions that were in the bag and I just moved them aside? That's one of my character traits. My wife loves it. I never read instructions. I told you the story to reveal something about myself. The Lord actually revealed something in this situation. Remember, he held back the river with his powerful right hand. You see, the Lord is revealing who he is in all of these moments and all of these situations. We're really fortunate that God has given us the scriptures, and he's been revealing himself all throughout scripture, and we can see God as holy. We know that God is loving and just and faithful and good and all-powerful, all-knowing, always present. He's truthful. He never changes. He's sovereign. These are things that we can bank on. We can look back and we can see he revealed this to us. And he typically did it through circumstances and things like that. Now, why is it important that we recognize this? One, if we're in one of these transitional moments, if we're in one of these uncertain moments, and we need to know that the God who is powerful is with us, wouldn't it be nice to have a remembrance, a memory of knowing that he's actually able to do this? I think one of the other things, and this is the most significant one to me that as I was going through, remember one of the character traits that he displayed, he told to us, was that he's unchanging. What that means to us is When I look at a memorial for God being faithful in my life, I can trust that he will be faithful again. When I see God as loving, he is still loving. When I see God as just, he is still just. When I see God as my Savior, he is always my Savior. He never changes. You see, memorials help us remember the revealed character of God in all of our circumstances. Now, further into that verse, if you get to verse 24, the end of verse 24, it says, so you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, it's possible that when you read those words, the picture comes to mind of being afraid or scared. That's actually not the picture they're trying to paint here. What they're trying to paint is this position of awe, this position of deep, utmost respect. It's a place of honor. It's a place of adoration. It's a place of seeing God for who he is and placing him above anyone or anything else. When we see God for who he is, it does something to our hearts. In fact, if you follow Scripture, if you go through Scripture and you see where people encountered the living God, what did they do? They bowed in worship. When they saw God for who he truly is, you cannot help but bow the knee. I actually think that's what happened when we get to verse 9 in this chapter. It's one of those verses that kind of caught my attention as I was going through there. You're reading through 1 through 8, and it's just the story of, hey, I want you to take the 12 rocks from the river and build this monument. And that's what they do. Verse 8, they get to verse 8, they have taken the 12 rocks and they're going to build this monument. But then we get to verse 9, and it starts to raise some questions. Joshua builds a second monument. Wait a second, God didn't say build a second monument. What's more is Joshua built the second monument in the middle of the river. Who was going to see it? I really think this is what happened when Joshua built this, is it was just a moment of worship. He was saying, at least on some part, I saw what you did. And while nobody else will see that pile of rocks, I know it's there. And every time I see it or I think of it, I will honor you and I will praise you for what you did. I wonder how many times, how many instances in your own lives when you think back, do we have the opportunity to put up our own monuments? To actually think about, God, you did something amazing in my life, and I want to honor you for it. I want to give you all due praise and respect for what you've done. But what happens if while you're looking back for those monumental moments, and all you see is pain, when all you see is chaos, when all you see is just the noise of it all. I've talked to several people lately that are just, they're really walking through a difficult time. Maybe that's one of you here or watching online. It's in those moments that I've heard from several people walking through that, and they'll say, you know, I look back and I can't see how God's in this. I don't hear from God. I'm struggling to really believe that, does he actually know that I'm walking through this right now? I hear that, and I just want to tell you, I hear you. But I also want to tell you that even if it doesn't sound like it, even if it doesn't feel like it, I am 100% confident that the Lord is with you in the chaos. How do I know that? Because I actually have a monument in my office that reminds me of that in my own life. I've got a picture of it. You'll see it on the screen. And you'll see It's actually just a broken piece of pipe. And this pipe reminds me that God is faithful in chaos. Let me tell you the story. This was Christmas Eve a couple of years ago. And it was a cold Christmas Eve. We had just finished up our first service. And I was walking up to go greet at the back. And somebody, one of our greeters, came and said, "Hey, there's a drip in the entryway. Can you come take a look?" Sure enough. So I walked out to the entryway. And by the time I had gotten there, the drip had turned into a steady stream. And then within seconds, it had gone from a steady stream to a gushing amount of water. And seconds later, there was water coming out of every crack and crevice. It was one of the most impressive displays of water where it should not have been that I have ever seen. We're talking about hundreds of gallons of water coming out in minutes. It was incredible. We got it shut off, and then we realized we can't have our second service. So we canceled our next service. We cleaned up a little bit of the mess, and one of the other things that we realized is that now without a working fire system, we couldn't have that second service. We had to stay the night. This is Christmas Eve. The last place I wanted to spend Christmas Eve was alone in the Olmsted Falls campus. Now, let me tell you, it's a beautiful building. I love working at the Olmsted Falls campus. If you haven't been there, come on out. But I didn't want to spend Christmas Eve by myself there. So soon all of the crowds had left, and I was left there sulking. And sulking would be a really nice way to say it. I was unimpressed with how this night went. I had expectations that were not met. We had practiced, we'd prayed about stuff. We'd invited people. They were coming. And now, we had to turn them away. And now I'm sitting in a building by myself without my family on Christmas Eve. Where are you in this? It's at this point you're kind of asking, I thought this was a memorial of God's faithfulness. Let me retell the story. Because it wasn't until later that I was able to step back away from the story and actually see God in the moment. And so the story goes like this. Christmas Eve, I'm walking out of the first service. Now that's a significant part because it didn't happen during service. It didn't happen at 2 a.m. It happened at the end of first service. When people were coming out, we could lay eyes on it. We could address it right away. Didn't happen at 2 a.m. Can you imagine that amount of water running unchecked? That'd be thousands of gallons of water destroying the building at Olmsted Falls. God's fingerprints. It continues. I told you that I walked out and I took a left to go look at the water. There was a guy walking out behind me. His name's Jeff at our Olmsted Falls campus. Jeff was walking out. He looked down and he saw the same thing I did, but because of his experience, he at work that week, the same thing happened at his job. And so he knew in a moment, I know what that is. I know what we have to do. And he was already heading to the water shut off to get it all shut down and drained out. And we were able to drain the system and have much less problem than we should have. Then we already had people in the building. They dove in. They shoved water out the door. We ran fans. We sucked up all the water. And within about an hour, we had some damp carpet. That's about it. I told you that I was sitting sulking on the ledge in the entryway. I saw a car come pulling in, and it was too late for the second service, so this was different. Ended up being a guy from the alarm company. They were just coming to check on the system. And he had some extra time. He was a believer. He wanted to bless us. And he said, "Let me take a look." So he popped up, found that broken pipe that I showed you. And He says, you're not going to believe this. He goes, but this pipe is a special order pipe. We don't carry it. I ordered one for a job that we were supposed to do last week. They didn't need it. It's still on my truck. He went out to the truck, put the thing back together. We were up and running again. I was home by 9:30. So when I tell you that I look at a pipe, that in all the chaos and all the mess that was happening, I didn't see God at the time, but God was absolutely there. And so if you're in that moment where you're struggling with, I just don't see God in the moment, I'm gonna promise you, I know from experience, I have a memorial to tell me that he's done it. He's with you. He has not fallen away. He's in the chaos with you. I want to close with just a few questions. So I'll invite the worship team to come. I want to close with this question. As you think through all of the things that you've been through in your life, and you think about the difficulties and the God moments, are there any that you should be building memorials for? Are there any where you should just say, I saw God do something truly amazing? Somebody here might need to hear that story. They might need to know that God is in it. In addition to that, I want to remember that what God revealed about his character, what was true back then, it is absolutely true today. And so as we go through transition, maybe you're in a chaotic moment in your life, maybe you're in a place of uncertainty that God's calling you to a step of faith, he's calling you to be strong and courageous, and you just need the God who is powerful, the God who is strong, the God who is loving, the God who is faithful, he's still that same God. We can still pray for that, we can still expect him to move in ways, in powerful ways like he did back then. So really what this is all about is memorials were not intended to point backwards. They're intended to strengthen us and encourage us for the days ahead. God wanted the people to remember the yesterdays so that when the difficult and the transition moments and the chaos moments happen, that they can walk in faith, in strength. And they can walk into their Jericho moments and see the walls come tumbling down. What he did yesterday, he can do today. Let's take a moment and we'll thank him and we'll go back to some time of worship. Father, we come to you and we just honor you. We praise you. Lord, you have been so good to us, so faithful to us. Just thinking about all the faithful stories that you have done for Grace Church. Thank you for great leadership. Thank you for our elder teams and those that have served for years gone past as elders and pastors and volunteers that pour themselves out. Thank you that you minister to us and are faithful to us. Thank you that you change our stories. There's many in this building today that can look back and see a life that was going the wrong direction, and you changed it completely. You've transformed it. And so, Lord, today I pray for any that just need that moment. Would you meet them? Lord, we love you. And we trust you with whatever step lies ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you rise as we continue to worship today?